Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
College camps or concentration camps? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Yes, there has been this everything from October 7th, the incredibly barbaric attack of Hamas terrorists on Israel. Things keep changing and they're not getting any better. Not only, of course, in terms of what's happening in Israel with Iran attacking Israel and so on, and no peace solution yet because Hamas is not agreeing to any solution. You know, they keep meeting for peace talks and Hamas is the one who is putting their foot down and not accepting anything. So now the biggest flurry of activity, of bad activity, is happening on college campuses. You know, a while ago, we talked about Harvard and Claudia Gay, the president of Harvard, and how there were these college administrators, presidents who came before Congress and all that, and they refused to say that what was happening on their campuses was bad. You know, they were defending it in terms of free speech. Well, free speech is not what these college protests are doing. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. So who are the protesters? Well, some of them are students at the colleges. Some of them are non-students, but agitators who are being paid by anti-Semitic people, particularly George Soros, and others, other leftist groups. And then also in some college campuses, at the campuses, there are community members, you know, people who don't go to the college, never went to the college, but they are showing their sympathy with the college protesters by standing outside the gates because they're not being allowed on campus. Standing outside the gates and showing support. So again, these students or these protesters were originally described, I described them that way myself, as pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, but they have morphed into being more anti-Israel, anti-Jews, and anti-America. So this is a very dangerous trend. A very dangerous change. So this past week, you know, even though Harvard got the attention at the beginning because of their president and so on, who was fortunately forced to resign. Now Columbia University in New York is where the action is. And their protesters, they have tent camps, and their protesters have been the loudest, and they have created copycat camps at other colleges all across the nation, you know, from New York to California. And this is an incredible, incredible change. I mean, you know, an incredible rise in the attitudes and the furor and the danger. And so that's why the question is college camps or concentration camps. Now, my solution, what I've been talking about in the media this past week, all over, is a lock up college protesters now and teach them about terrorism. That's my solution to it. I have been talking about how pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian protesters have been allowed to run roughshod everywhere, from college campuses to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And it's hard to decide which is more appalling, the ignorance of the protesters, for example, the people who are yelling from the river to the sea and they don't know which river or which sea or what it really means, that it's calling for the obliteration of Israel. And either that, or is it more appalling that there are blind eyes of those who allow them to do it? In other words, nothing is really being done to the, at most, there are people talking about it that this is not good, but the schools are doing very little to nothing to stop it. Now, Israel, I think I've talked about this before. Israel is the canary in the coal mine. Terrorists have been taught since they were little tots, toddlers in madrasas, that their number one goal is to destroy Israel and kill Jews. And the idea is that this will please Allah and it will reward them in the afterlife. But it's not just about Israel and Jews. It's been the goal for over 1,000 years that radical Islamists wage global jihad and kill all the infidels, which would include most of these protesters. In other words, if a Hamas terrorist or any other kind of terrorist walked up to Colombia, let's just say, and saw these protesters, they would, either light a suicide vest. I mean, start a suicide vest, pull the tab on the suicide vest, and blow them all to bits. Or they would shoot them, or else do some other lethal kind of attack, because it is because most of them are not radical Islamists, and therefore they would be called considered non-believers. And what are you supposed to do to a non-believer? You're supposed to kill them, according to radical Islamic law. So anti-Semitism, as I was saying, is running rampant. It bothers me, personally. It bothers me, of course, because anti-Semitism of any kind bothers me. But at Columbia, Barnard and Columbia is a part of Columbia, or they are connected together. And my daughter went to Barnard, and when she went, there wasn't any such sentiment, or at least it was not outwardly expressed, anti-Semitism. And in fact, Barnard always had kosher food in the cafeteria and challah for the Sabbath. And I'm not sure if Columbia did. They probably don't now. So now the Columbia and many other colleges have been unsafe for Jewish students since October 7th. I mean, now the protests are growing, but the personal anti-Semitic remarks and attacks and so on Jewish students have been happening since October 7th. Now it's just in a more in an organized kind of camp and protest. So what Columbia did was everything is fluid at these colleges. You know what they did, what they're going to do, what they're not going to do. It's changing every day because they're seeing what kind of reaction it gets. So Columbia decided what they would do is to make students attend class virtually because they couldn't protect all the Jewish students on the campus. So they said that Jewish students, or any kind of students, I guess, could take classes by virtually, like during the pandemic. And but now the cost of attending Columbia or Barnard is $90,000 tuition now. And it was almost that high even when my daughter was going. So when you're talking about parents paying that kind of money, they are not going to want to have their students have to take classes by computer, by remote. So Now, when you think about the First Amendment, let me sort of go into that early on, because for those of you who might think, oh yes, the First Amendment protects them, they can do whatever they want or say whatever they want. Well, the First Amendment doesn't protect, it's for free speech, but it doesn't protect hate speech. It doesn't protect trespassing, vandalism, assault, violence, or hate crimes. So that's not, that's their argument. That's why they think they're entitled to be there and to make a mess, do what they want, shout what they want and so on, demand what they want. But in fact, they are way over the line. And that it does not, the First Amendment doesn't entitle them to do what they are doing, the mayhem that they are doing. Okay, so in this past week, there have been 200 students. Let's see, yes, the latest, actually, in the news that came out today, the latest toll, cops arrest 200 anti-Israel protesters at college campuses across US while Columbia le leaders dither. In other words, Columbia leaders are doing squat, and they talk about, they do something and then they pull it back, and then they don't do, they're taking forever to make any kind of a decision, which is very, they haven't made their president resign, which is a step that they should take. Because actually, it's very interesting. When they made the president, Claudia Gay, resign at Harvard, things got a little better on the campus there. And one of the things that they did I thought was ingenious, and that was they set the, because all these encampments, for the most part, are on the grass, Harvard started the lawn watering system. So all of a sudden you had little fountains or big fountains of water, that normally are used to water the grass. They put that on, and of course all the tents and all the students got soaking wet. That was rather a very nonviolent, clever way to disrupt what was going on. And they did other things. It calmed down a bit on the college when she was fired or forced to resign. But I mean, there's still, of course, a lot of anti-Israel, anti-Jewish sentiment there. I mean, kind of like the other colleges. So Columbia has a Gaza solidarity encampment that is the envy of all the other colleges. It's very well organized, and they have lots of angry students. And student leaders are holding the campus hostage, student leaders of this protest. So now some of these colleges, the 200 protesters who have been arrested this week, come from all different colleges, including Northeastern University in Boston, Arizona State University in Tempe, Indiana University in Bloomington, Washington University in St. Louis, and they were arrested. But the problem is that when these students are arrested, they're not really kept very long. It's kind of like what's happening to criminals, like people who go into stores and steal things and so on, or worse, killers and rapists and so on. They are brought to jail, but they're not kept. And these students were not kept. They were allowed to return to college, before they could get warm in their cell. So now also, not only are these protesters, just wanting to end the war and saying horrible things should happen to Israel and Jews and so on, but they also want their university to cut ties with any financial arrangement with Israel. So they're asking to sh for proof of that, which so far I do not believe has happened. Let's see. There have been more than, actually, there's more than 200 who have been arrested. Oh, well, oh, 200 this past week, but altogether over 700 protesters. Okay. Now, a lot of these protesters are people who are basically misfits. They feel like the oppressed. They see themselves as the oppressed, and they see Israel as the oppressor, and they see Jews as the oppressor. And for example, in one, this was at UCLA. UCLA is a hotbed of such a mess. There's a lot of protests. They are teaching things to first year medical students that are highly inappropriate for medical students, highly inappropriate period, but I'm making medical students spend time learning these things instead of learning how to take care of sick people is just appalling and shouldn't happen, especially in a state school, state medical school, where where they're getting funding from the state, from taxpayers. So like in at UCLA, where there are, as I said, a mess of protests and so on. This one protester called out to one of the people there, "You're just a white person. We don't like white people. Get out. We don't like white people." And she was waving the Palestinian flag and chanting "Free Palestine." And she was speaking Arabic. So, this is an example of clearly this is someone who has a lot of problems, a lot of hate, let's put it that way. So and that's part of it too. It is true. The people in Israel are white. The people in the Jews for the most part are white. They're not all white, however, and this woman obviously doesn't know that. And then there is a leader, so that was at UCLA. Then at Columbia, one of the leaders is named Kymani James. He is really, going above and beyond what this was originally about, Gaza and Israel, the war and all of that. So he has been barred from campus finally. But he and I, it had to do with someone finding a video that he was on that he recorded in January and presumably was on social media. He said, "Zionists don't deserve to live. Be grateful that I am not just going out and murdering Zionists." Now, what is who are Zionists? Zionists are people who feel strongly about Israel, who love Israel strongly. And most Zionists are Jews. So basically, he's saying Jews don't deserve to live. Be grateful I'm not going out and murdering Jews. So, then Canada, even there's even a protest camp that sprung up just recently at McGill University in Canada, in Montreal. And the schools, like that school and some other schools, are saying the right thing in the sense that they're saying, "Oh, this is bad. This shouldn't be allowed," but they're not doing enough to stop it. And the problem is that the more they are allowed to continue and escalate what they're saying and not being stopped for saying this, the further they will go. And even, until they get their demands met, whatever that is, the financial demands in terms of, trying to the BDS movement, I don't really know what would satisfy them. They want Biden to be even meaner to Israel than he's already been. I guess that's part of it too. And so it's probably going to go on at least until November, these protests, because they have that to call out about. Now, another university, California State Polytech, in Humboldt, California, said that it was going to close campus for everybody, close campus until the end of the semester, with school instruction and work continuing remotely, because the protesters kept trying to break into multiple locked buildings with the intention of either locking themselves in, vandalizing, or stealing equipment. So what is that doing? You know, it's ruining it for everybody, not just Jews. It's destroying the college experience for all of the students. Another example is at USC, University of Southern California. There was a big brouhaha because there was a valedictorian who they had chosen, who was a turned they found out, you know, after they already announced that she was going to be the valedictorian, they found out that she had expressed on social media, and I guess in other places too, her feelings about Israel and Jews and all of that and Gaza and everything. And they were very inflammatory remarks. So they decided that, plus she didn't have it was this one, or it may have been, well, that was the main part of it, these inflammatory remarks. So they decided that they wouldn't have her speak as the valedictorian. And then they decided, well, we won't have anybody speak because that won't make it look so bad, you know, that we're just aiming this at her. Okay. And then the students at USC and outside agitators made things so bad that they canceled the graduation altogether. Now, USC is located in downtown LA, which is the same place where the Rodney King, you know, cr mobs were, and other kinds of those kinds of mobs, those kinds of protests or attacks or whatever you want to call them. And so it's very vulnerable, that area is very vulnerable to lots of people being a mob and doing very destructive things. So now those kids, though, kids, well, the students at USC, none of them are going to have a graduation. So all of this is really very sad, very, very, very unfair to all the students. So I will stop now, and when we come back, I will talk a little more, explain to you a little bit more about George Soros and what he is doing, and how this is aggravating these protests, or by aggravating, I mean how it's accelerating, making the protests worse. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm your terrorist therapist, Dr. Carol Lieberman. I'm a psychiatrist. If you would like to find out more about my work as the terrorist therapist, besides these podcasts, I've been working as the terrorist therapist since 9/11, helping people cope with terrorism, cope primarily with 9/11 at that time. And I've been to London and Paris, helping people there. I've written two books on terrorism. One of them is called Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And clearly, these student protesters didn't have their mommy or daddy read that book to them. Well, it came out after they were kids. Well, they still really would benefit from it because I mean, because it had, although it's made for primarily for people, for kids who are less than college age, these college kids don't have a clue. So really, really, it would help them to read that and understand. You know, it talks all about what terrorism is. It doesn't pull any punches. I mean, it tells the truth. And for everything from 9/11 and Osama bin Laden to the underwear bomber and the Paris magazine bomber and so on. And then things to do to the parents can do. The first half is for parents and teachers, and the second half is a picture book for kids. So I think it's never too late. These college kids, that's what I should do. I should get drones to drop these books on Columbia and other college campuses. I'll think about it. It's not a bad idea. All right. Maybe it'll hit some of them in the head, but hey. All right. I know. I'm not a violent person, but all of this that I'm talking about, clearly, you probably can tell, has gotten me outraged. All right, so let me get to George Soros. He has me outraged. Do you know that George Soros was born a Jew and he is a survivor of the Holocaust? He lost members of his family in the Holocaust, and he is a what's called a self-hating Jew. It's more than hating, it's loathing for him. And I would love to have him on my couch and get into his mind, his twisted mind, and figure out what happened to make him so hostile and so actively. He spends his whole life actually giving money. He's made billions of money, and he donates them to causes, to progressive or leftist causes. He's trying to destroy America, and this includes promoting these college protesters. So, and as far as what I think is happened to him, or what I think twisted his mind. Obviously, living during the time of the Holocaust, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, it was a very traumatic time. So that's part of it. And the fact that he survived, is it survivor's guilt? Is it that he was so overwhelmed by the Holocaust that he wants to try to make another one, for him to be the creator of a Holocaust? Because basically, that's where these college protesters are leading. If this continues, they are basically trying to have another Holocaust come about. So, if George Soros pays for this Holocaust, essentially by paying these people, students and non-students, he's paying people to go to these college campuses and protest and be leaders of the protest. And I mean, I'm not the only one who's saying this. You can look it up. He's doing it. I mean, it's been hard to trace, but people have traced it. Because the reason why it's hard to trace is because he pays through all these progressive leftist kinds of things that he wants to happen to destroy America, including the protesters. He does it through a middle organization, a charity. And so his name isn't directly linked to it, but he gives the money to the charity, and the charity gives the money to the protesters. And everybody knows that that is what is supposed to happen. I mean, what he wants to happen. So it is very, very upsetting. So yeah, they call them fellows. So they provide tons of money to community-based fellows and to campus-based fellows. And they get money, and they're supposed to spend 8 hours a week at least organizing campaigns led by Palestinian organizations. Now, that's another thing. A big problem is for years now, there have been Palestinian or pro, really pro-terrorist organizations on campus. And the way that they got their foot in the door was because they talked about how, they should be allowed to have a club too, because there are Black student clubs, gay student clubs, Jewish student clubs. So they, made the point that they should be able to have a club, which is all very fine, well and good, except when these clubs, the Palestinian clubs, turn out to be leaders of this anti-Israel, anti-Semitic protest. Now, here's an example of the most high profile of these fellows, of the Soros funded fellows. This is in Berkeley in California, and it is a woman named Malak Afeneh, Afaneh. She is the co-president of the Berkeley Law Students for Justice in Palestine. Law Students for Justice in Palestine. Law students. I mean, they're supposed to know better, lawyers, law students, you would think, you would hope. Now, she did this. You may have heard about this. I've heard about it before, reading about it. It is kind of the talk of the town here in Los Angeles. She is a serial speaker at these protests, And there were people from the law school who were invited to the dean's home. And she was one of the law students, so she was invited, but she turned it into she hijacked this dinner at the dean's residence by shouting anti-Israel slogans. Then she accused the dean's wife of assaulting her when she asked her to leave. So these are the kinds of people we're, who are leading these protests. Let's see. Soros has his organization is called the Open Society Foundation. And now his son, Alexander, who has been seen at the White House countless times. So he's, in there with Obama in particular and Biden, and he's, trying to promote all the things that his father once promoted, which is anti-Semitism and also just all the things that, the Biden, all of the things that they have been doing to destroy America. Let's see. At the University of Pennsylvania, I'm just giving you highlights from some of these universities to tell you some of the incredible hate that's going on. What's a person who's being called a deranged terror fan? They openly showed an inverted triangle while on the campus during this campus protest. And this is a symbol that Hamas uses in their propaganda videos to point out military targets. So what this person is doing, basically, is putting they made this at Jewish students. When they see a Jewish student, they show this upside down triangle. So in other words, what they're saying is that this Jewish student, should be a target for other students, for Hamas, for everybody. This is a bad person who should be a target. I mean, this is like really, what's the next step? The next step is acting on that and shooting the student, attacking the student. There have been Jewish students attacked, as you probably know, although of course they're trying to keep it as quiet as possible. And then, there are other students who are calling for Zionists to die to support the final solution, which was what Hitler did, and bombing Tel Aviv, et cetera, et cetera. So what started as student protests, even if you want to think of them as legitimate student protests, First Amendment, just sitting there quietly with signs about the war in Gaza. I mean, not that what they were, not that their signs were totally accurate. I mean, like, let's look at From the River to the Sea, for example. That in fact, that these students have been asked by media outlets, why are you protesting? And either they don't know, or they don't know what the From the River to the Sea means, or they don't know that terrorists, that Hamas and other terrorists would like to kill them because they are unbelievers, according to terrorists. I mean, it's and when you think about the fact that they are at some of these colleges are Ivy League colleges, you would, this is supposed to be our country's brightest, right? Well, clearly they are not. Of course, nowadays, colleges and medical schools aren't really looking for the brightest. They use other criteria to admit students. For example, how much, not so much your grades or your SAT scores, but how much social justice activity you have been volunteering for. Well, that's, you choose students on the basis of that, and you get this. You get these protests that are anti-Semitic. So again, it's not that they are so much pro-Palestine, they're pro-war, but they're pro-war against Israel. I mean, it's just evolved into raw anti-Semitism. Then there are also banners claiming October 7th 10,000 times. Boycott the genocidal Zionist apartheid state. Holocaust was no big deal. Only one solution, Intifada revolution. This is pretty dangerous stuff. Now, in the irony, of course, of all of it, or I guess it's the intention of them. When in the 1930s, when the Nazi poison took root in Germany, Jewish academics and students were blocked from universities or were simply advised to stay away. Now, this is what's happening today. It's just like Nazi Germany 1930s and beyond. I mean, they are not doing it in the same way. They're not saying, oh, let's block Jewish students because they're inferior or horrible or whatever. But I mean, that's really what they think. But well, they don't really think they're inferior, or else they wouldn't be doing this. It really has to do with envy of the success of Jewish students and Jews in general, that make them angry. Jews are supposed to be the oppressors, and they are the oppressed in their minds. So, let's see. I have so much to talk about here. I'm kind of looking through what is the most important to talk about in this particular podcast today. Okay. Well, when we I'm going to tell you a couple of things. Well, let me just tell you, I was quoted today in the I've been quoted about this and been on radio and television, all this talking about, well, talking about since October 7th in particular, talking about Israel, and talking then since then talking about these protesters and everything. And so I was quoted in this really good article called COVID Shutdowns, Isolation to Blame for Pro-Palestine Protests. Now, this is just a part of it. It is not what I mean, how how COVID and the lockdowns are involved with what's happening is this. Because of the COVID lockdowns, students and really all of us have had during those lockdowns, we have had to come in contact and with our thoughts about death, and about well, horrible things were happening. People lost loved ones, death, sickness. It was very existential. It was an existential time when people that went on for at least 2 years. That people, and you some say, it's still going on in a well. Well, the after effects are still going on. And so it was a time when people lost their footing. In other words, a very existential time. Everybody got lost and came out of the COVID lockdowns really being lost. And so students who were particularly affected because, they missed school and missed socializing and all that for 2 years. They came out of it being very vulnerable to propaganda. Now, this is propaganda, lots of different things, propaganda through that spew propaganda. For example, the C critical race theory in schools, teachers trying to convince kids that they shouldn't be the sex that they were born into, they should change to something else. All different propaganda had a feast. Because in fact, it was one of the times this was printed. It was called "Hungry Students" or "Hungry Protesters," something like that. They were hungry for someone to tell them what to do to make their life seem less unhappy, less unsure, less lost, make them feel less lost. And so October 7th came at a time when they were feeling lost and feeling angry. angry about, the lockdowns and what they've been deprived of, angry about the fact that their parents probably lost money, the economy has gone down. There have been a lot of changes that they are angry about. So they were very vulnerable. They are very vulnerable to the propaganda that these clubs, these pro-Palestinian or clubs on campus, people like George Soros, anti-Semitic people, anti-Israel people, the students were very vulnerable to that. So, for example, I'll read you a couple of my quotes. The pro-Palestinian cause allows disconnect. I'll start this again. The pro-Palestinian cause allows discontented youth to express, quote, long withheld rage, said forensic psychiatrist Carol Lieberman. It gives them an, quote, opportunity to identify with the oppressed against oppressors. I mean, that was the main point. Quote, people who offer an escape from this confusion by promoting a direction they claim will lead to happiness and purpose have found a hungry audience. Then it goes on, talks about. It appears the young demonstrators don't have a full understanding of the movement they align themselves with, Lieberman said. Quote, the worst example of ignorance is that the protesters do not know that terrorists want global jihad, not just to destroy Israel. They also don't know what they are saying when they chant from the river to the sea. I mean, that's, the importance of that. Them not knowing that is just that that's a statement that they yell all over the place. And to not know, sort of a basic thing that they're claiming. And the fact that Israel is between the ocean and the river and the sea that they're referring to. It's like, why would you chant something that you have no clue what it's about? Let's see. Now, some students are saying that two Columbia students admitted that they wish they were more educated. Well, like, hello, isn't that what they're supposed to be doing in college, educating you? Then, okay, well, that's pretty much, that's the most, that's the majority of my quotes. So, all right, let's stop here. And when we come back, I am going to tell you ways to stop protesters before they start a Holocaust. I have put my thoughts, my ideas together about, well, it's really that I feel, enough talking, folks. You have to start doing something and getting rid of these protesters. I mean, it's kind of like what I had written before about protesters should be arrested and lock up college protesters now and teach them about terrorism. That like sums it up. But when we come back, I will tell you some of the ideas for how we can stop them. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking about college camps or concentration camps. The protesters on college campuses all over America and now Canada and undoubtedly other countries as well. They started out as being pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, terrorists, and now they have devolved into being more blatantly, which was really all along, it was really the sentiment behind it, but now they're blatantly saying that they are anti-Israel and anti-Jews and anti-America. It's like they are Hamas's puppets and terrorist puppets in general, because they are saying and doing things that the terrorists want. I mean, Iran has been saying for years, death to America, death to Israel, death to America. And that is basically what they are parroting. And I love this son of the Hamas leader who like tells it like it is. He's been saying, if you haven't heard my last podcast, my latest podcast before this one, please listen to it because it's all about terrorist envy, the new psychosis. And I talk about how well it came from this son of a Hamas leader. Found one of the Hamas founders, and he's saying that these protesters belong in an asylum, and so that's why I came up with a diagnosis for them: terrorist envy, psychosis. And also, what has he been saying? He's been calling them useful idiots, because a useful idiot is someone who parrots the chant or the mantra of a certain group who wants to in this case it would be the terrorists, real terrorists, radical Islamist terrorists. And so they are, when people sort of parrot the mantra of a certain group without really fully understanding what this is all about and what they're asking for, but they promote the group because they become, like the substitutes or the promoters. They become promoters. Most of, not all of them are paid. You can't blame that they need an extra job, right? And they already had too many people at the library in their college, so they decided to be a protester. I mean, I'm tongue in cheek, that is. Anyhow, here are, so he was talking about them being useful idiots, and that is so right on. Anyhow, okay, so here are some ways. I started to write something that I'm going to be putting out called 10 Ways to Stop Protesters Before They Start a Holocaust. However, as I started writing it, I realized that there were more than 10 ways. So I have to add to them, to it. So one way is warn them to start out, warn them that they have stepped over the line. The First Amendment doesn't protect hate speech, trespassing, vandalism, assault, violence, or hate crimes. Then record surveillance video of everyone involved in protests, students, paid agitators, faculty, etc. Identify them and provide the list to police, potential employers, and others who have the right to know. Suspend or expel any student who commits these acts, starting with the worst offenders. Report students here on visas, on student visas, to government authorities. Prevent anyone who isn't a registered student to enter college grounds. Prevent them from entering college grounds. Dismantle any encampments for formed to further the ongoing protests. And I love the lawn watering system situation. Fire all college or university presidents who haven't taken action to punish protesters or protect Jewish students. Fire all faculty who teach anti-Israel and anti-Semitic lessons. Disband all so-called Palestinian clubs. Call in the police or the National Guard to enforce these steps if needed. Prevent known agitators or celebrities like Ilhan Omar from inflaming the protests and put George Soros in jail for financing terrorism. Now, Ilhan Omar just recently went to Colombia to give them a pep talk, to show her face to, I mean, of course, Ilhan Omar has been anti-Israel and anti-Semitic from before she was from forever, from before she was in Congress. And then also it turned out that her daughter attended a Barnard. And I mean, attends, well, I say attended because she was just suspended or made to leave permanently. Expelled. I'm not sure which, but I'm sure her mother is going to get her back in. Let's see. Encourage donors to halt their donations to these colleges and universities. Make the students take seminars on history and teachings of terrorism, including what from the river to the sea really means, how terrorists are after global jihad and Sharia law, not just destroying Israel and killing Jews, the Holocaust, you know, take seminars on the Holocaust, take seminars on history of the Middle East that dispel their claim that Gaza belongs to Palestinians. Make them all watch the documentary, Screams Before Silence. This is a documentary, someone sent it to me and I just watched it today. It is an incredible, and I just posted it actually on Twitter and on other social media. It is unbelievable. It is, you know, of course it makes you cry. It made me cry, but it is, you know how people are saying, some people like these people, the college protesters, are saying that, oh, what, you know, the videos from October 7th didn't really happen that way. And, or, you know, Israel just edited these videos to make them look like they were really bad, that Hamas was doing really bad things. And, but if you, in this documentary, Screams Before Silence, they interviewed, in Israel, they were interviewing survivors of October 7th, people who were at the music festival, people who were in the kibbutz, kibbutzim, that were attacked, and people who had who came to help, different people who were really there, and who talk about it from their own personal experience. So not only are there these interviews with survivors, but there are videos from Hamas. You know, when Hamas was making their barbaric attack, many of them were wearing cameras to video what they were doing. You know, they were so proud of it. They wanted to go back and show their people and show the Hamas leadership what they did, how they, how violent their attacks were, how barbaric they were. And so they talk about, they talk about and they show things on it. Well, they talk about, and you may well have heard of this before, but you know, the thing is, this gets what really happened on October 7th gets whitewashed in mainstream media. So when you see the people who are now, of course, anybody could say, well, these are just plans. These are actors who are saying that they were there and survived October 7th. They're not real. Well, I think if you watch it, you'll realize that they are real. And the pictures don't lie, especially taken by Hamas. Not all, some of them were taken by the documentary makers, but some of them were Hamas videos. So, okay, so those are some things. Also, another way to stop protesters before they start a Holocaust is that they can trespass some of these students, a 3-year trespass and suspension. In other words, if they come back on the campus, they can't come back on the campus. And similarly for employees, they will be separated from employment. So this, I mean, basically what I was saying, people need to be fired. The actual protesters and the people who sympathize with the protesters and the people who agitate the protesters. And there are some teachers, professors, who are actually, encouraging, that's too mild a word, but stirring up, agitating the students because of their own anti-Israel and anti-Semitic beliefs. I mean, that's why they were hired by Columbia or some of these other colleges to begin with, because, I mean, the colleges, this didn't just happen out of the blue. The colleges have been filling their ranks of professors over the years, especially like the last 10 years, let's say, with professors who espouse these kinds of thoughts. So when October 7th happened and when the protesters started protesting, it was on top of a bed of people, a group of people at the universities who already had these sentiments. So it was very easy. It was like it just lit a flame, lighting gas. You know, they just put a flame, I'll get the, like putting a flame to gas, and it just blew up. But you know, it's part of the reason it blew up so quickly is because it was really already there. Okay, now in the 1960s, there were protests. There were protests mainly about the draft and the Vietnam War and civil rights and women's issues. And so there were protests on college campuses. And Ronald Reagan was involved then. He was became the governor of California, and his a major part of his platform was to, quote, clean up the mess at Berkeley and other college campuses. And but you know, those protests were nothing like what they are today. First of all, you know, back in the day, the students were not as didn't feel quite as much at liberty of attacking police as they do today. Not to say that no police got attacked back then either, but not like it is today. So Reagan said, he condemned, quote, these people and this trash who used, quote, the excuse of academic freedom and freedom of expression, unquote, to justify continuation of the protest. And yeah, the idea is that enough talk, now that we need action. And money is coming from, you know, funding some of these agitators are coming not only from the Open Society Foundation headed by George Soros, but also by the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. You know, people, it's just people who hate America. I mean, they want to bring in socialism and communism. And this is one of the ways of doing it by just having protests. It's destroying the fabric, destroying the civilization of America, you know, the civility of America. Yes, one of the things I mentioned this already, but this is an important one. The student visas, they should be looking at the students, which students in the protests, amongst the protesters, have student visas and get them deported. That would help a lot. Also, other any students or protesters who are found guilty of giving aid and comfort to terrorists should be expelled. I mean, basically, they are doing this by being useful idiots and promoting the terrorist cause of destroying unbelievers, destroying America. You know, they are so ignorant. They think that terrorists are their BFFs. And let's see. It's really, you know, and another thing, they are not thinking. I mean, most college students like to go to concerts, right? But they are not thinking about the fact that terrorists like to attack concerts. You know, we've had the in Paris, they attacked the concert venue Bataclan, and that was the night that Eagles of Death Metal were playing. And in Manchester, England, they attacked a concert where Ariana Grande was playing. So in America, it's coming soon. Well, if you know, this is a big problem, like for well, it's a big problem for lots of people, but it's a problem for the students, the Jewish students in particular, but even the non-Jewish students, as I was saying, they're getting deprived of being on campus, they're getting deprived of graduation, they're getting deprived of a lot of things, a positive college experience. But these protesters don't care because again, it's they're about, you know, it's like what Iran says. Death to Israel, death to America. They really believe that. And some of these students Like I was talking about the ones who feel lost coming out of COVID and all that, and they're angry and, they've been persuaded by this propaganda. Okay. But they have to take responsibility for themselves and what they're doing. So, thank you for listening. If you would like more information, please go to my website, terroristtherapist.com, and there's a lot of interesting things there. Meanwhile, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm your terrorist therapist, Dr. Carol Lieberman.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number four, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.